Blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to this module. And we are now looking at Overcoming Denominational Barriers, Part 5. This module is focused on the gifts of the Spirit. Fasten your seatbelts, as my wife likes to say. We're about to take off. If we review what we have covered so far on this website, in this series, it has been divided into what we call three books. Book one, the fundamentals of salvation. Book two, the meat of salvation. Book three, strong meat. Because the word makes it clear, God wants you and me to grow from milk as a newborn babe would grow to meat, to strong meat. And so here in this book three, we've been focusing on strong meat, but really, we're just starting to take off on strong meat. This module will give you a check in your evaluation of yourself. How much do you want God? How much of God do you want? God wants you to have His fullness. He wants you to be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. Do you want to be filled with the fullness of God? Understand, if you're filled with the fullness of God, you're not filled with the fullness of yourself. I love Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the kind of attitude we want as we move into stronger meat to get ready for book four. Book four is the fullness of redemption. The fullness of redemption. You may have noticed, if you've turned your TV on, that we're living in perilous times. They're getting more and more dangerous, more and more challenging, more and more ungodly. And we need more and more of the glory of God in us, more and more of the capabilities He's given us in our salvation package to move harmlessly through these increasingly perilous days that are cycling downwards. For Luke 10:19 says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. I like that. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because Psalm 91 says, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And no evil shall befall you. And no plague come near your dwelling place. Praise God. So there's just some of the promises in Psalm 91. What a wonderful protection psalm. So here we are, looking at the gifts of the Spirit. You've got your seatbelts on, and we're going to dive right into this. Our foundational scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Remember, unless referenced otherwise, we always use the King James. It's a bit harder to read because of the Old English, but I found over the decades that it almost always, not always, but almost always, has the deepest depth of revelation knowledge. Almost always. So I put up with the Old English and I plow through it, because it's worth it to me. So The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's given to every person to profit withal. It's given to every person for that person to use it for profit, profitable for themselves. Now, profit doesn't necessarily mean money, but it can. I recall once, perhaps 20 years ago, I was sitting watching TV, and a commercial came on, and I'm watching this commercial, company I hardly knew anything about it. The Lord said, buy the stock on Monday. I did, and in 1 week, it doubled in price. So that's one way of profiting financially. But you know, the best way to profit in everything is to give. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. So whatever you have, if you give it away, it comes back multiplied. That's also true with what God has given us, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given to you for you to live a profitable life. The most profitable life is to lead people to Jesus. Wisdom is leading people to Jesus. So, when we use the gifts of the Spirit to get people saved through miracles, signs, and wonders, we are giving away the gifts that God has given us. And the best measurement of your ministry, in my opinion, is how successful you're flowing in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I have been giving away healing for over 40 years. There are so many people that have been healed under my ministry that I have never even tried to keep track of it, even in the beginning. So I've given away healing on an ongoing basis. And why do I have healing on an ongoing basis? In just a very short time, I'll be achieving 50 years without having gone to a doctor, a hospital, taken medicines, or frankly gotten sick. Have I had challenges? Absolutely. A lot of challenges have come, but I've learned how to use the Word of God and overcome them so that I don't miss a day of work. I don't have to go to bed because I'm challenged. My life doesn't change. My wife is always with me. We're always together. And she can tell you that what I'm saying is true. I give away healing, it comes back. She gives away healing, it comes back. You give away healing, it will come back. Whatever you give comes back to you. And what you have here to give is most precious, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I know a lot of churches, a lot of people, a lot of denomination thinks, well, the Holy Spirit will give you 1 or 2 or 3, and that's it. You can't have all 9. Why can't I have all 9? Mark 11:24 says, what things soever I desire, when I pray, I believe I receive them, and I shall have them. I pray that probably over 40 years ago, and asked the Holy Spirit for all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I have been operating in all 9 gifts of the Spirit for about 40 years. It's a bit too late to tell me that I can't do it. And so can you. So, I know already I've probably said things that many of you find different from what you believed. So let's dig in further into the Word. Because I don't want you to believe it because I'm saying it. I want you to believe it because the Word is saying it. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 from the Amplified Classic. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. It's given to you for good and profit. Profitable to get people saved. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, you should not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. You and I are alive to tell people about Jesus, to get them saved. That's very profitable, and it's very good. But that doesn't mean you can't use it in your own life for mundane things. We are in a mundane world, and we do need mundane things. You know, it's almost a joy to go shopping with my wife. Notice the word almost. But I have been shopping with her a number of times, and it's amazing to see what happens. She's not a coupon collector. She doesn't really have time to do that. But when she goes shopping, she almost always seems to have the right coupon, or she hits a sale. It's surprising how many times I go shopping with her, and the manager of the location is the one who starts helping her. I recall one time we went to a department store, and this man spent a long time helping us and actually gave us some coupons. Turns out to be the regional manager visiting to check out how the store was doing. I mean, it's really phenomenal how she's led by the Spirit of God in her shopping. I would say that's profiting through the leading of the Spirit. We have one lady who's listening to me right now. I just love the story. She went to a store and saw this jacket that she really liked. Wonderful jacket. And she got it and she looked at the price, and I think there was no tag on it, but she liked it. The price wasn't, the tag wasn't legible. She got in line and told the lady, I don't know exactly what the price is, but I want this. She ran the little barcode through and she came back and said, it's 10 cents. And the lady says, how can it be 10 cents? She says, I'll run it again. Run it again. She came back, 10 cents. She says, it can't be 10 cents. The lady says, it's 10 cents. Do you want it? There's a line forming behind you. Do you want it or don't you want it? She says, I'll take it. So she bought a really nice coat for 10 cents. Let me tell you, that's profiting. Okay? Now, God has given us the gifts of the Spirit. I would say, ask for all 9 gifts and learn what they're all about. Let me read to you what it says here from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And from the Amplified, this one is from the Amplified, all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Now, that sounds as if he's going to give this person one and this person two and this person three. But that's not really what it's describing. These gifts work together in combination. So at every given point in time, rarely would you use just one. You might use two or three. And whatever the combination is that you use for the situation, that's what the Holy Spirit will give you. God is not holding back anything from you. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have a spirit of adoption. And we are joined heirs with Jesus. Everything that God has, he gave to Jesus. And we are joined heirs with Jesus, co-heir. Whatever he owns, we are owners also. Romans chapter 8 is an amazing chapter in the entire Bible. And I'd recommend you all read it over and over and over again. It's just absolutely, enormously powerful. We are joined heirs with Jesus. And Jesus had the Spirit without measure. God wants us to mature, to be conformed to the image of his Son. How can we be conformed to the image of his Son if we are restricted from having the same capabilities and gifting that he did? There are many different ways to go around to show that the severally and so forth and the one and another is referring to specific periods of ministry or incidents which have to be dealt with. So again, I suggest you check it out for yourself, and when you come to see that I'm correct, ask the Holy Spirit for all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, once you get them, you're not getting them with pride to go tell people I operate in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I probably operated in 9 gifts of the Spirit for 20 years or more before I ever mentioned it. And I only mentioned it in teaching. But be long, much longer than 20 years, actually. So, the order that's presented here in the Bible, if you look at it, understanding what these gifts are, it's not really easy to see why that's the order chosen to present them. God is very logical. God is very orderly. There's a reason for everything. So there's a reason why they're in this order. And I'm going to present to you what I believe the order is. Maybe it is. Maybe there are many different reasons for the order. But here's one that is meaningful to me and I find very helpful. So if you understand the order, it will be easier to memorize what the 9 are. So what's the order? Well, as we live and breathe, it's great to know what's coming down the turnpike. You get up in the morning, what's ahead for me this day? What helps you to know what's in the future coming towards you is the word of wisdom. So it starts off with the word of wisdom. It's also true that many times when you're going to minister to somebody, that the Lord will tell you who the person is or what is the ministry situation. Certainly did that with Peter. So we have the word of wisdom up front to know what's in the future coming for us or for somebody else. So we know what's coming. We also need to know what's happening in the present. It's good to know as we walk around what things are happening in the present. That's the word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, knowledge of things in the future. Word of knowledge, knowledge of things currently. Now, as we understand what's going on around us, we'll find that many, many times we need faith. Great amount of faith to overcome the challenges that we're seeing coming from the future or from the present. So the next one is faith. Not just regular faith that we have, but supernatural faith, an endowment from the Holy Spirit for times when the challenges may seem greater than what you can handle. So we see wisdom, we see in the future, knowledge what's going on, and faith. And many of the challenges you'll occur in ministry and for yourself has to do with health. So the next one is healings. And occasionally you'll find the healing will require a miracle to get the healing and the person back where they are. So let's say you raise somebody from the dead. Raising them from the dead is a miracle, but you also need to have the particular challenge that took the life. You need to have that healing restored. You need a creative miracle. You need to raise the person from the dead and solve the problem. So, we have wisdom, we have knowledge, we have faith, we have healings, and we have miracles. So, that's enough for us to get through a day. But as we proceed along, it's good to be able to not just create your day with your words, but create your future. And we do that by prophesying. We can speak into existence the things that we need in the future. We call things that be not as though they are. So the next one is prophecy. And as you prophesy the future, the devil doesn't like the future you're prophesying. They try to stop it. So we need the discerning of spirit to know what's going on here, where are the attacks coming from, who's really trying to help you, who's really trying to hurt you. And next is to build yourself up. Tongues. Praying in tongues, there's 7 different kinds of tongues, but one form of tongues builds yourself up, edifies you, strengthens you. So as you move along merrily on this pathway that you've seen through this gift, you pray in tongues to build yourself up. And sometimes, if you want to know what were you praying in tongues, you can ask for the interpretation. Similarly, if you're ministering to somebody, you could prophesy over them, encourage them, tell them what's coming on the line for them. Not negative things, positive things. Tell them what's going to happen, what God's calling in their life is, to the extent that God has shown that to you. And then, if they want to pray in tongues, or you want to pray in tongues in a church setting or in a group setting, then you need to have the tongues and interpretation. You need to interpret it. So one form of tongues, where you are basically giving a prophecy in an unknown language, requires interpretation. If there's no interpreter there, you need to interpret it yourself or be silent. So again, to go over it so you get it sealed in you: wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge; faith, miraculous faith; healings, miracles; prophecy, discerning of spirit; tongues, and interpretation. Now, it's a bit hard to work with them in that order. So the way I normally teach it is I divide them into three groups. Okay? Which we're going to look at in a minute. We ended with 1 Corinthians 12, where the Holy Spirit apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. So when you're ministering, the set of miracles which you're going to use, you don't know which ones are going to really happen. I recall once in a evangelistic miracle service, I was led by the Holy Spirit to call out a word of knowledge that there's a man there who had a tremendous challenge with the neck and the shoulders, and that he should come up. So sure enough, he came up. He had had a football injury 40 years ago, and his neck and shoulders were really challenged. He could not move his head, probably more than this to the right and more than that to the left. Fractional movement, and up and down was just about impossible. Could not raise his hands above his shoulders. And I saw this man coming down, and I looked at this man, and instantly I knew a lot about the man. I just knew what he was like. And I thought, this man will never get healed today. The man came down, so I prayed for him as I did for everybody, prayed for him. Very short prayers, put my hand on him. He went down under the Spirit, laid on the floor for about 5 minutes, I think, maybe 10 minutes, been a long time, while I did something else. And when he got up, he was totally healed. We have videos of the man and his wife crying because she had never seen her husband move his arms and his head like that. Never. No, I never ever thought he was going to get healed. Maybe a small healing, but a miraculous healing like that. Holy Spirit apportioned severally as he would. And there you see, I had the word of knowledge that was a man with a challenge. He came up, and the gift of miraculous healing came into place, and he was miraculously healed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:11, but this time from the King James. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these gifts work it that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Little bit hard to understand. Read it one more time. But all these work it that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The key part in here that's not very clear is these gifts work the one and the selfsame Spirit. In the Amplified, it's translated, the Holy Spirit apportions, gives every man severally as he will. Several gifts as he will. And I'm saying, based on my understanding and experience, it is several at one point in time. But here the King James is saying, all these gifts work the one and the same selfsame Spirit. What's happening is that as you are speaking the word, having the faith to declare it, It puts a call on the Spirit of God. It causes the Holy Spirit to operate, to work, if you will. I remember in my first 10 years of ministry, I was heavily involved in ministering healing. And I recall one saying that in this great, huge, large city in which I was living, I spent so much time in these hospitals praying for people, especially those in ICU. A lot of healings, a lot of ministries. And many, many times I would go into hospitals and I would pray for somebody and said, you'll be out in 3 days and you'll be out in 5 days. And people were with me and people were there who were part of the family and so forth. And after a while, people would ask me this question. Multiple times I was asked the question. When you go to somebody and the doctor said this person is going to die in 5 days, I'm thinking of a particular one right now. Doctors have said she will be dead in 5 days. And you walk in and you pray for her for 5 minutes and you say, in the name of Jesus, in 5 days you'll be back in your home. Actually, two come to mind with the exact same wording. They said to me, are you saying that because God is telling you to say that? Or is God doing it because you're saying it? And I would think and think and say, I don't know the answer to that. But the way I would want to answer it is this. I don't think it makes a difference. I think that if God told me to do it and I said it, it would come to pass. But if I said it, and it's godly, obviously, God will make it come to pass. So I don't think it makes a difference. This scripture here shows what I'm talking about. It is the declaration of the gifts. It is the execution and the initiation of the gift that works the Holy Spirit. It puts a draw on the Holy Spirit. At the end of the book of Mark 16, about verses 18 and 19, I guess, right around there, it says, the Holy Spirit was with them to confirm the word. The Holy Spirit is confirming the word. In Luke 5, the story of the man who came down through the roof, Jesus was there preaching. And the scripture says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Why would that be? Because he was teaching and healing. The only reason why the power of the Lord would be there to heal is because the Holy Spirit is there to confirm the speaking of the word. So he must have been speaking the word of healing. And so when the man came down through the roof, he was healed. He's the only one that put his faith into action. And it's his action which released the healing. So what you're doing is putting a draw on the Holy Spirit. Your words are activating the Holy Spirit to confirm the word. And that's why it's saying in the King James that these gifts work the Holy Spirit. Concept may be kind of strange, but since it's kind of strange, I'll give you something even stranger. Isaiah 45 verse 11. Isaiah 45 verse 11. The reference is on the outline, Isaiah 45 verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. And concerning the works of my hand, command you me. Concerning the works of my hand, the King James is saying, concerning the works of my hand, command me. That's the same concept of the gifts causing the Holy Spirit to operate or to work, of putting a demand on it, of putting a requirement on it. Concerning the works of my hand, command you me. There's a more well-known scripture, John 14:14. Jesus says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Just a few words, John 14:14. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. But the word ask there is not just one of the regular kind of asking. That ask is a special kind of asking. It's asking for something owed to you. It's like at the end of the week, an employee may go and ask for his paycheck for the week. Asking is polite, but he's really asking for something due him. It's a demand. It's putting a demand on something due him. Same thing if you go to the bank with a check and you present your check to withdraw money from your account. You may say to the teller nicely, "May I have my money? Here's my check." But what you're doing is you're demanding from the teller your money because it's owed you. It's your money. In fact, banks call it demand accounts. Any account where you can go in and get your money whenever you want it, are demand accounts. And everything that God has given you for yourself and for your ministry that belongs to you, you can ask for it based on John 14:14. It's the demand of what's due to you. You are in the army of God. Being in the army of God, you need resources to complete the work that God has given you, to get people saved, healed, restored, raised from the dead, set free from demons. Whatever it is, God has told you to do it. Because he has told you to do it, that his power is available to you as you need it. And the way you place a demand on it, you don't write a check in the bank of heaven. The way you place a demand on it is you speak it into existence. You speak it into existence. If you went to the hospital and you thought, if I lay my hands on this person, the person will get better and be home in 3 days, and you do it and you walk out and you don't say it, it probably will not happen. I would say 99% for sure, maybe more than that, it will not happen. You've got to declare it. You've got to declare it before it happens. Because it's a declaration that puts a draw on the Holy Spirit, puts a demand on the power of God that is appropriate to it, that is concerning the works of God. And you said, concerning the works of man, you command me. Because you're in the field. He's the general. You're the soldier out there fighting. So let's move along here, okay? We're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And we want to contrast the gifts of the Spirit that we just looked at, the nine gifts we just looked at, with two other sets of gifts. In Ephesians 4:11-12, talks about the ministry offices, the gifts of the ministry offices. They call gifts. The ministry for offices, apostles, prophet, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, given as gifts to the body of Christ. Actually, to the world in general, but only those who believe will receive them. So, these ministry gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, until we come together in the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, unto a perfect man, measured up against the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. The ministry offices are there to help us, to perfect us, to move us back towards that which belonged to mankind before Adam sinned. God is a big God. Big God lives in you, and a big God thinks big. He wants you, and he wants me. He wants us to think big. Let's think big, for we have a big God in us. And God did not put his Holy Spirit in us. God did not select us to be his temple so we could be bumps on a log. He has callings on our life, tremendous callings to do wonderful and great things for him, especially in these days that are increasingly dangerous. God has a calling in your life, and He wants to see you bring it to pass. The other set of gifts are what I call the ministry gifts. They are gifts, seven gifts, given to members of the church, of the body of Christ, for the operation of the church. So these gifts should be present in every church. They are found in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. There's the gift of prophecy, gift of ministering, teaching, encouragement, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. Gift of ruling is like we'd call it today, managing and supervising. Seven gifts to function in the church. Notice in all three different sets of gifts, one is common. Prophecy. Only one is common in all three. All three have prophecy. Encouraging the body. Exalting the body. With words that would do that, words about themselves and words of things to come. Words about what their ministry are and their calling and what God has in store for them. Prophecy. The only one that's in all three of them. So let's go on to part B. Here we look at the gifts of the Spirit by function. For teaching, I divide them into three sets of functions. The first one is, of course, the power gifts. Second one is the revelation gifts. Revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. And the third one is the focal gifts. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. So we have the power, the revelation, and the vocal gifts. Focusing on the power gifts tonight, and we will complete the rest in part B of this module. This module will be done in two parts, and the next part will deal with the remaining six gifts. Let's finish up with the power gifts. First power gift I'm referring to is faith. This is impartation by the Holy Spirit of supernatural manifestation of faith. And I have many examples, but the one that I really love is from my friend, Evangelist Joe, where Evangelist Joe was becoming more and more powerful in healing. At this point in time, he was speaking at a church, and while he was teaching, the Lord told him, I want you to announce that when you start the healing line, the first person up in the healing line would be instantly healed. I really love this story. I tell this story probably more than any other story that I have. And so, no big deal. He said, sure. So he announced it. First person up in the healing line would be instantly healed. And he had had enough experience that didn't faze him in the least bit. But when the time for the healing line came, the first person up was sitting in the front and simply stood up and was there. And she was blind in both eyes. And Evangelist Joe had never had that before. Somebody blind in both eyes that he's told is going to be instantly healed. So he said, Lord, this is beyond my faith. I ask you for that supernatural gift of faith. He asked for it, said, thank you, Lord, for it. And then he did what he always did. Prayed for her eyes, just a relatively short time. Took his hands away, and she went wild, jumping up and down and running on the church. She was instantly healed in both eyes. That's the supernatural gift of faith. When your own faith is not up to the particular challenge. Of all the challenges that I've run into, myself personally, I've never had to ask for it for the situations I was praying for. But there have been a number of times, I would say three times, where the Holy Spirit has told me to pray for something. And I said, huh? You want me to pray that? And I've asked for a supernatural gift of faith just to pray it, because it kind of shook me up. All three of them kind of shook me up. So here's the example from the scriptures, from Acts 3:6. Peter and John are going to temple. They've been doing it for a long time. Jesus went to temple there all the time. And from birth, there was a man who was lame from birth, who was brought there every day to beg alms. So they must have all passed him many, many times. Jesus has passed him, never prayed for him. But on this day, he raised his hand toward Peter, expecting something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he reached on and grabbed his hand and pulled him up, and strength came into his body, and he was instantly healed. That's the gift of faith. Why do I think so? I think so because there is no record of Peter having healed anybody before that, and that's starting off with a big bang. And that's a tremendous action of faith. I personally think it's a great example of the gift of faith. Acts 12:16. This same Peter was arrested and put in prison. Herod had killed James, the brother of John, and because the people liked it, he decided to go after somebody else. So he took Peter and put him in jail. The day before, the night before his execution, he's there with soldiers sleeping beside him. He falls asleep. And the church, scripture said the church prayed nonstop for him. So they're praying for him. Angels appeared, okay? The angels appeared, and the angels got him out miraculously. Peter thought he was having a vision or a dream until he was outside and realized this is real. So he goes to the house and knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door, sees him, and she's so shocked to see him, she slams the door in his face and goes back in and says, Peter is outside. And they said, you're crazy. It can't be Peter. She said, yes, it's Peter. No, 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 you're crazy. Yes, it's Peter. It's this angel. Meanwhile, Peter is knocking away still. Why am I calling this a gift of faith? They're all praying for Peter, but they don't have the faith to believe that he got set free and is outside. Has to be a supernatural gift of faith to set him free. And he was set free in a dramatically supernatural manner. If I had time, I'd read the whole thing to you, but you can look it up. It's a tremendous story. So that's faith. Healing. Gift of healing. Manifestation of healing immediately or shortly after prayer. It's like a miraculous manifestation of healing. One can achieve healing through different ways in the scripture. Anointing with oil, different ways of doing it. But the gift of healing is the one that's fast and immediate. The others generally tend to take more time. So, from Luke 17, verse 14. And when Jesus saw the 10 lepers, he said unto them, they were crying out, Son of David, have mercy on us. He said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. That means they were healed from leprosy as they went. That's the gift of healing. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Gift of healing. Miraculous healing. As he went, he was healed. Many times, miraculous healing occurs as they're executing some kind of a instruction you give them. Like Elijah telling Naaman, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times to be healed of leprosy. Miracles. The miracle example I've chosen is a continuation of that story. Miracles, manifestation of prayer, which supersedes natural physical laws, does not have to be healing. It can be anything. And you can supersede any law of physics with a miracle. The spiritual laws supersede the physical laws, if you have a good reason to do it. Joshua stopped the sun. Isaiah made the sun go backwards. And I wish I had time to tell you some of the ones that I would love to tell you. But I don't believe I have the time to do that. So, Luke 17:7, continuation of the story with the 10 lepers. And Jesus answered, said, were they not 10 cleansed? How does he know that? Because he sent 10 away. One came back. Some people might think one came back, only one got cleansed. No. Jesus knew when he sent them, all 10 would be cleansed, which you could call a word of wisdom. But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, except the stranger. Only a stranger. Stranger because he's a Samaritan, not a Jew. So the 9 Jews didn't come back. They went to the priest. And Jesus said to the man, the one that came back, he says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. He has been cleansed, healed from leprosy. But leprosy eats the flesh. So he's probably has gaps and organs missing, holes in his flesh with organs missing, maybe fingers missing. He was made whole. That's the miracle. That's the gift of miracles. Restoring everything the way it is. We're just still going through a pandemic. I was speaking to a man just a couple of days ago, and his job is selling medical supplies. And so he was very busy during the pandemic because he supplies a lot of stuff that he needed and knows medicine quite well. And he brought up a mutual friend who had died. And I said, you know, that we got involved with that situation. I said, you know, his oxygen absorption had gone on to about 34%. And the guy said, oh my gosh, that's like being dead. I mean, that means you're only taking 30% of the oxygen your lungs are exposed to. It's, you know, with that, your organs start shutting down and it's near death. I said, we had 3 people that we had to deal with in that situation. 2 of them were miraculously healed and restored. So when we got into that one, we prayed him back for where he was to where he was on the phone talking to his family. Miracles of healing. 2 left the hospital doing wonderfully well. The other one got back from where he was. All 3 had oxygen in the 30% level. 2 were totally, completely healed. And the 3rd one, we were disconnected from the situation at the point in time when he was on the phone. He got to the ability where he was on the phone and could talk to his family. Miracles. God is a miracle-working God. God wants you to partner with him to be a miracle-working person. Thank you very much, and we'll see you for Part B, which will continue on the same outline. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. As always, the word is very rich, and much there is there for us to learn. So, praise God for his goodness, for his love for us, and all that he has provided to help us fulfill the plans and purposes for which God called each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank him by coming to the table and partaking of communion. This is a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has provided for us to be able to continue to partake of the ongoing benefits of Jesus' one-time sacrifice. So let's take a moment to confess our sins, and then we'll come back together. We thank you, Lord, that from your word, it says that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This was an intimate dinner that Jesus had together with his disciples. And he's saying these things to them. And he knows exactly what's coming. They would look back and see and understand what the words meant. But we have hindsight, which they say is 20/20 vision. And we know by the word of God what this was all about. Jesus gave his body to be whipped. And he took 40 lashes, save one, which was typical Roman style with a very ugly, horrible whip that would rip at a man's flesh as the whip grabbed hold and they pulled it back. And Jesus, with these 39 stripes, paid the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain that would ever be known to mankind. And we are so grateful that Jesus knew the end from the beginning. Modern medicine has 39 categories of sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. 39 categories, and every new one that comes up is added to one of those 39 categories. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you knew that and you paid the perfect price, the complete price, that every one of them has been paid for. And that means that you took them for us, so they don't belong to us. So when symptoms come to our bodies, it's a lie from the pit of hell, and we need to treat it like that. We need to kick it out of our lives and kick it out of our bodies and say, no, you do not belong to me, because my Jesus paid a terrible price, a very painful price. He took the pain, he took the suffering, so I would not have to. We are the healed of the Lord, and we need to recognize it, accept it, and say so. For we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And that's what this is all about. Jesus' body broken for us so that our bodies would be healed, healthy, and made whole, like that leper. He was not only healed from the disease, but he was fully, his body was fully restored. The parts that were missing were restored. That was wholeness. And that's what God wants for us. Health, healing, and wholeness. That's why Jesus paid that price and why it belongs to us. But we have to take it. We have to receive it. We have to let the enemy know that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And we know what belongs to us, and we are taking it. That's why we take communion, as we take of this broken body that we hold in our hands. We receive that healing and wholeness. It's that great exchange. It's the process of covenant. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's partake now together of the broken body to receive our healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He could have said it's about to be shed for you, but he was prophesying, for he knew what he would do. This is shed for you for remission from sins. No more annual sacrifice, no more covering over. But now he's saying, my blood will wash you free from all sin and all iniquity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've been washed free from sin and from the wages of sin, which includes sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and death. Jesus paid it all. And the healing, wholeness, life, and strength belong to us. So let's take them now as we partake of the cup of blessing and the cup of life, for the life is in the blood, and the life of God is in the blood of Jesus, which now pours into us. And let's call it to fill us up, to flood us, to saturate us. Every cell of our bodies, every fiber of our being, every organ, every system, every function, every empty space, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, flooded with the blood of Jesus, flooded with the life of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.